You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Laurel Jenkins. She's talking to me from Vermont. Laurel, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Laurel, let's talk about what you're doing now. I know I'd like to know what's happening in Vermont, but you have, of course, a very rich history in dance and choreography. What's happening at the moment?
Well, I am currently focusing on my dancing. I kind of went really big and was really focused on moving a lot of people through space. And I had the insight recently that I just have to go into my own physicality again. And I'm also in the kind of early stages of dreaming up some bigger projects. Dreaming up a collaboration with a composer who's also here in Vermont.
Can I ask who the composer is?
Yeah, he was on your show, Matthew Evan Taylor. And
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's why I asked. He's wonderful. He does a lot of collaborations.
Yeah, so we're thinking of a piece that will be like a sonic scavenger hunt through a landscape or piece of architecture, and the audience is ultimately kind of choreographed through the space and like kind of arriving at a trail of breadcrumbs, finds these dance and music etudes that accumulate, and the final kind of section is like a dance party with the audience. So we're thinking really big about that. We've been working in the studio for about a year now, so we're excited to kind of deepen and start composing and choreographing. We've been mostly improvising up to this point.
I want to go back into just how you're working with your own movements, but just talk a little bit more about your collaboration with Matthew. How do you find a musician like Matthew to collaborate with? How does a collaboration like that begin with? Because he seems to be someone who does that. Is it that the world's so small that you find each other? How does someone like you find him?
Well, it was a very wonderful moment finding Matt Taylor because we were both new faculty at Middlebury College, and there was this kind of awkward new faculty orientation, and everyone was, you know, getting their donut and their coffee, and we're kind of being very quiet, and like Matt Taylor and I were just like, hey, and then we were kind of instant friends. And I think he's an improviser in music, and I'm an improviser in movement. He's worked with puppeteers and dancers before, and I've worked a lot with composers. For about 10 years, I worked with a wonderful glass composer. He has an instrumentarium of glass objects. His name's Miguel Frasconi, and he's incredible. And so Matt Taylor's like, I feel we speak the same language, but in different mediums.
And let's talk about what you're doing now. At the beginning, you talked about moving back into your own body. You've choreographed before for companies, you know, working with Trisha Brown Dance several years ago, but also in opera, and obviously working in a lot of performance centers with groups of dancers and performers. So now, as I understand what you're saying at the beginning, in order to develop a new work, or and just correct me if I'm paraphrasing wrong, because I'm sure I am, as you're searching, seeking, figuring out what's next, you're moving back into your own physicality, your own body as a way of research, or what is that exactly?
Yeah, I think scale has been definitely interesting to me, and working with a lot of people and solving big problems and telling stories with kind of a lot of different elements. And I recently had a child, so I have a 4-month-old baby, and I feel this kind of invitation back to my own center and my own movement, and to strengthen myself again, and also to reinvestigate kind of where I'm coming from the most elemental place of just an empty studio, moving by myself, and finding out what's interesting there. And I just love dancing so much that an empty room with comfortable clothes on is pretty much all I need to be researching and practicing. And I am so inspired by how, in a way, little I need to begin researching in that way. And in next month, I'll be performing for the Cunningham, Merce Cunningham's 100th birthday would have been April 16th. So they're doing a celebration in London and LA and New York, and I'll be in the LA cast. And so I have to really also get strong for that movement material, which is kind of, it's not something you can just step out on stage and do. There's like a lot of specific muscles and coordinations that need to be in place. So I'm kind of recommitting to my own physical practice through getting ready for that performance, but also kind of, starting again, starting a new project. I like to start with phrase material and finding out what my body is interested in right now.
Interesting. So of course, the Merce Cunningham pieces, you'll be performing in there. You know, you're obviously not choreographing, you're performing there, right, as a dancer.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of dancers learning little sections, and they'll do a chance operation to put them all together.
So let's talk about, first, congratulations on having a child, a daughter, you said, right?
A little boy, yeah.
A boy.
Thanks.
So congratulations. That's really exciting. And I think interesting to talk about in terms of, like, artistic practice and how it changes. I mean, you're talking about just getting strength again. That's strength after being pregnant and giving birth, and the toll that takes on your body, and the fact that you weren't dancing throughout that, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so I was dancing. I literally taught a dance class the day that I went into. I went into labor at 3 a.m. and that day I had taught a dance class. So I was really committed, even when I felt tired, to practice moving throughout my pregnancy, which I think really helped me have this kind of fluid experience of giving birth. I feel really grateful for having a kind of quick and empowered sense of my birth experience. But it went well. And then afterwards, there's like a fascial kind of shift, basically, that you need to kind of get your muscles back together, and the pelvic floor has just changed, and it can be strengthened again, but it takes like a concentration to do so. And there's some like really amazing body workers that I've seen and been working with, but it's possible to like gain the strength that you had before back, but it doesn't happen right away.
Right. Birth and what your body has been through is a huge trauma, really, to the whole muscular system, right? And how you know your body, it sounds like. And that's a huge shift to go through and to recover from. So part of what you're doing now is you're still in, if that's the right word, recovery or rebuilding or realigning your muscles.
Yeah, and there's like a, basically a, I like to think of it like an energetic channel opens up between you and your child, you know, and that's like, that's there for the rest of your life with the kid. But yeah, in the basic sense, like you have been stretched, and it's like muscular effort. The muscles have to re-remember how to engage just because they were expanded so much.
Mm.
So it's very interesting. It's disorienting, for sure. But I think movement is also the way for me to find my way back.
And you know, birth is, I mean, I was just talking to my wife about this, you know, while my son's sitting there, who's now a teenager, and we were talking about the effect of having a child on artists and how it, and you know, we actually had different perspectives on this, but how it can reorient things from work or art being about you and your ideas to something else. At the very least, perhaps less ego-driven, or at least considering this kind of primal relationship that's just created with your child, which is something mm-hmm. that nobody can really understand unless you've had one. You know, mm-hmm. if you haven't had one, you think, well, you know, that seems maybe kind of like a drag. I'm not going to be able to travel as much or something.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm going to have this strange primal yeah. bond to another being yeah. that I'm going to yeah. care so much about. It's crazy. Even yeah. before you know them, right? Because she's 4 months old. You don't, or he is. You don't really know them that well. We get to know them over time, but
yeah.
that bond is there. So, so in talking about that, and your research in terms of how you're dancing, I don't know if it's possible to articulate, but you're a choreographer. You look at all of this, I would imagine, somewhat technically in the past as you choreograph and put things together. Now what you're doing seems, you know, like the equivalent of free verse. If you were very, you know, tight poet for years or something.
Mm-hmm.
How
yeah.
does that research apply to what you're doing? It seems like a completely different way of thinking about dance and your art, to be kind of alone making movements and also knowing that you're in a sense carrying this relationship with you all the time.
Yeah. Well, a thought came to me today because I'm inside all these questions right now. I definitely don't have answers, but the thought was, this is the best day of my life. And I had, when I said I was alone, I felt like I was kind of lying, because I actually, he was on the floor and he was just basically looking around, and he is just pure perception right now, just totally at ease with looking at the ceiling or looking in the mirror or looking at the light or, and I don't exactly know what he sees, but I had this thought today that this is the best day of my life, because I can share kind of the minutiae of the moment with him. And I think as an artist, we're always trying to get to this place, and often it happens in performance, of a kind of purity, of a loss of the ego, where you are completely consumed with and at one and with what you're doing, and that there's this clarity of the moment from that. And
that's what we wish for, but it's often very difficult to get. But you're saying
which is totally at odds with like grant writing, waiting 2 years to make a project, or you know, like
right.
And one thing we didn't talk about was like the LA New York divide, which I found really freeing to move to LA from New York, because there, you weren't on this kind of presenter schedule, which is like start making a piece and show it 2 years later. In LA, it was like, oh, you want to do something? Okay, let's go do it. And then you show it a month later or something. And it's not very well produced necessarily, but the ideas are fresh and the energy's there. And so I feel that there's like, as a new parent, just this opportunity for quality in the moment right now, that it's not something you have to wait for, and that there's this being that's calling my attention to the present moment. And I feel like, as an artist, that is such a gift, because it is often like, oh, this great performance is happening in 2 months or something. It's like, no, it's this moment is as equally as valuable as that moment in the future.
And that's because of your son and the relationship to him?
Yeah, because they're only right here right now. Like, they really want, I guess they just want you to be present.
Yeah, that's so. And what he's seeing also, I mean, we don't really know what he's seeing, but
right.
To talk about your process exactly while he's there or not, he's seeing his mother make movements, dance around in a way that only dancers would, with a history like yours. You're not turning on your favorite song and dancing in front of the mirror. You're researching.
I do that too.
Yeah. That's good to know. But you're researching. What's happening in that research? What are you learning, if it isn't too premature to ask, and what is it pointing you towards?
Well, really right now I'm working on the Cunningham material, and kind of refinding my kind of technical clarity as a mover. And there are like 4 small sections of material that are between, you know, 1 minute and 3.5 minutes long. And then those kind of, there's a lot of emphasis on line and balance, and this kind of spatial clarity. So I'm kind of working on that and wanting to kind of execute that to the best of my ability. And it's so much also about timing. Like, you don't want the timing of a piece to kind of lay flat. It has all of these like details, and to kind of dig in and really own the timing of the material throughout the whole body, and like get it in my legs and be able to kind of go for it. And I think the beauty of Cunningham's work is like, it's so hard that you just have to completely go for it and let go of this idea of perfection, even though it's just so difficult. But then I guess when I'm kind of not doing that material, I'm individually working. I think it's almost like too early to say, but there's much more flow. I'm definitely much more influenced by Tricia when I make phrase material for myself. The big stuff that I was working on before this was, I was working on Mass with the LA Phil. It was a choreography that also happened at Lincoln Center, and there were 250 performers in it. So I was really focused on other people and moving other people through space. And before that, I was doing these pieces that had about 20 or 30 people that were these kind of group rule games that basically you set up the parameters, and then the choreography makes itself based on the decisions that the performers are making. And so those pieces were really structural, and I'm just like wanting to go back to the most basic elements of dance: time, space, energy, and kind of take note of like where I'm at now after doing so much with a lot of people.
And I want to ask something about how that might fit into what's happening with the collaboration with Matthew, but also while you're doing all of this, is this at home? Is your toddler like, not toddler, 4 months old, that's newborn. Is he, I guess he's just in a cradle or something? It's not like he's crawling around, hanging onto your leg or anything like that, right?
Yeah, well, I taught a class today, an improvisation class with him strapped on me, and he slept. It was very beautiful. And then sometimes he's exploring his own movement on the mat, and I'm moving around either in the house or in the studio. And so I think we're both kind of just exploring, like, what can we do? And just in different ways. But yeah, he's not moving around yet. He's not mobile yet. Yeah.
And to talk a little bit about what's happening with Matthew that you hinted at the beginning, I know it's just in its planning stages, but that's a piece that you're creating, that he is scoring, and it will be something that draws people through the city or a town?
Yeah, so we're interested in the landscape because we live in a rural place. We have this kind of wealth of distance and space.
Which is
Vermont,
not
a lot of,
right?
Yeah, beautiful place, but not a lot of, density of humans. So we're using this piece, it's called Beacon Fire, to kind of gather our communities of looking for dancers vocally to work with, and he's looking for musicians. And it's a collaboration that called Beacon Fire, where there are kind of, it can be performed at different sites, but we're creating these small little sections that that are kind of like points on a map, and they draw you hear a music composition off in the distance and travel to that composition, and an etude unfolds, and then you hear the next musical composition and you travel to it, and you don't necessarily see it, but you're traveling towards something that you hear. And in the dancing, in the choreography, I want to work with distance, and the choreographic rule is enter. So once a performer comes in, they never leave. They join the audience and travel with them. So there's this kind of choreography of the audience that is happening through space.
Because they have to be kind of led along. You're following the audience, and the audience is following the performer, and both are kind of, which is such a lovely idea, kind of listening and following sounds, and it sounds like movements as well.
Yeah, exactly. So this kind of invitation to listen and to enter and to be present and to kind of experience a place in a different way. And I think both Matt and I think of dances as like mini societies. So whatever kind of rules you set up of engagement, those are the kind of rules of the piece, but also the way that the audience will engage with the material. It's also like how the performers engage with each other. And so this is a lot about like working together to go somewhere new. And then this idea of like all the pieces, the little pieces fitting together at the end to kind of make a dance party. These are the ideas we're working on. It's a hefty project, but we're excited to kind of make small pieces along the way with different artists and then put them all together.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I love that idea. I hope I could come to experience it, but it sounds really, really interesting. And let me ask you one more question before we go, which is my typical question for the end. What are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading two things. One is a Rye manual about parenting with awareness and trusting the intelligence of your child. And the second one is Mothering from Your Center. So this idea that kind of the intelligence of the art of mothering is kind of embodied in our core, in our center. So acting from there for your whole life with your child.
Thank you so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate you talking about your work and the relationship of your child to your work. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.